Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Global Village International Radio Show with your hosts, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell and Doug Bentley. Tonight, it's open mic night. While the world is going crazy, we're all humans and need the opportunity to talk out our feelings and opinions. Call into the show where we'll discuss all things spiritual and esoteric. How can we help each other in these trying times? What's bothering you the most? What do the prophets say? Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, Ross Peterson, we're taking your calls at 718-766-4421. That's 718-766-4421. Now, here's our Global Village host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Welcome, 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 everyone. It's a pleasure to have you here tonight. The Munchkins are at work here. We have volume control buttons, and we have red and green buttons flashing back and forth here. Indeed, the world is going crazy tonight. It's good to have you here. We have several people in the queue, and we're going to attempt to talk over things tonight. You know, just have like a fireside chat. And see, let me know what's on your mind and see what we can do about helping each other come up with some of these situations in life that we are currently going through. This is war. It's a tumultuous world at this point in time. Change is every day. Are we getting numb to the things that are happening to us all the time? You know, like you hear about court cases and you just throw your arms up in the air and not sure who's telling the truth. We have these overseas wars going on. We're not sure what's the truth is there. We see horrific things happening in the tinderbox of the Middle East. And we want to help. We want to do something. But do we punish the bad guys? Who are the bad guys? You know, this is a world we're living in. This is post-epidemic time. There are spiritual prophecies going on that were made by Edgar Cayce, Ross Peterson, Nostradamus, and others. Is this the end times? Some religious and spiritual perspectives. There are people out there now who are, you know, on social media, men of cloth, who are adamant that this is the end times. You know, we have this mental health, which is the unspoken pandemic here that's going around the world. And is the cancer culture, is it an effect on free speech and society? Is it working or is it intimidation? You know, how about the smartphones and social media? Are they affecting us in a positive way or a not so positive way? Are you dependent on your phone? Well, we'd like to know. Call in and let us know what's on your mind. We have a few people in the queue. We're going to get to your calls, provided, of course, the Munchkins aren't here. Munchkin are in the switchboard. Our producer, Paul Hughes, has got control, we hope, and we will soon find out. The number to call is 718-766-4421. My good friend and co-host, Doug Bentley, is here, and you know, Doug, the eye is you laugh in the face of confusion. You thump your nose at the aggression in the lion's face before you stick your head in its mouth kind of thing. It's a turnaround, topsy-turvy world we live in. How are you doing tonight way out in the country where you live?
I'm having trouble hearing you. I'm sorry.
Well, speak up.
But it's a pleasure to be here nevertheless.
I'm asking you how you are out in the country there tonight.
Oh, I'm fine. Yes, yes. All I,
okay.
If I get worried, all I do is look outside and I see people walking, holding hands, and I see the sun out there, and I stop worrying. If it's something I can't do anything about, I always make an effort to find something pleasant in life and enjoy that. But
well,
it certainly is a crazy world. There's absolutely no doubt about that, and I do think it's getting a little bit crazier all the time.
I think you're right about that. The whole point of the world is, and what's going on here with my speakers and my earphones and poles in faraway places where we are here. We're trying to adjust everything down. So I hope you can hear me okay. One being bad and ten being good, what can you hear me, Doug?
I would say you're probably a three.
Okay. Well, we're going to go to the phones and, you know, press that phone up real close to your ear, or if you're on a computer, you know, log in, and we'll see what we can do. Some, we're doing okay. We've got to start showing. We get the show started. We're doing okay. But tonight, it's just a fireside chat, my friends. So, Paul, I'm not sure if we should just go to the queue and see if people can talk to us. I have a bit of an echo going on in my earphone here, so I'm not sure exactly how that's playing out, but let's hope it's okay. And I'm flipping the buttons around, turning the volume up and down myself. So. Okay, so can we try to go to a caller?
Douglas, I would strongly suggest perhaps calling into the switchboard on your cell phone. We're having severe audio problems. I don't think people will be able to understand you. Doug and I are pretty much experiencing the same volume problem on our end with you. We do have quite a few callers in the queue, and if you can call us in on your phone, that would probably communicate a lot better.
Well, I'm looking. There I am, coming in. Okay, so there I am. Okay, I'm just going to turn this.
Folks, if you don't mind standing by, we appreciate your patience as Douglas is having some problems communicate, as you can tell, on his end. And we, prior to the beginning of the show, attempted to repair his problem, and it seems to be beyond our technical scope at this time. So the best remedy is probably to have him call us on the show,
and I
call in. Hello, Douglas.
There I am.
There you are.
Advice as the top producer in the land, we have now. I can just slide that microphone over out of the way. I can move the earphones over out of the way, and I'll hang on to this little iPhone here as we go through the show. So as long as we can manipulate the audio clips and the phone lines, we're away the races. Again, my friend, you know, this is my friends out there, and you know, who are Global Villagers and Global Villager Community. It's the whole thing about spiritual tests, about peace of mind, about mind control, mind development, mind is the builder. It's all about how you react to situations that come at you. They don't stay very long, and if you can find a remedy like we're doing tonight, yeah, then you can pat yourself on the back. And again, we've been calling our platform here, our radio platform, Downtown. Got to talk to some, well, so we emailed the big guys. But I don't know, Paul, Doug, we're kind of small potatoes maybe, but hey, we're winning tonight being on the air. So, Paul, if you can manipulate the switchboard and we can take some calls, let's take a few and see what's on your mind, my friends. Those listeners in our Global Village community, what's on your mind?
Yes, Douglas, we've got the first caller from the 312 area code, 312 with a 320 exchange. Hello and welcome to the show.
Yes, and I would like for you to come back to me. This is Carol from Chicago. Can you come back to me?
Yes, Carol. We will give you a few minutes if you'd like.
Come back in a little while. Okay, yeah. Here we go.
Yes. All right.
Is it
and,
possible for you, Douglas, to increase your volume a little bit more? It's so much better than it was, but it's still a little bit low.
It is what it is. It is what it is, Doug. We're on the phone.
That's true. It always is.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll go ahead and go to the 401 area code. We've got a caller in the 401 area code with an exchange of 728. Hello, you are on the air. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hello. This is Herb from Pawtucket. How are you all doing? I must have hit the lottery coming in right after Carol as number two. I feel pretty good.
Yes.
Wow. By that, what do you call that, Powerball lottery ticket?
It's the power of the mind. But anyway, you're talking about a crazy world, and it certainly looks like it's a crazy world, but too bad we can't get the concept of karma and reincarnation out into the masses to understand that type of concept. You would not have wars. You would not have a lot of these issues if people understood the laws of karma and the laws of reincarnation. That's my thoughts on the matter. Your thoughts?
So you're suggesting that more people should understand that there are consequences to their actions, that somewhere in the heavens above there is the Akashic record or the Akashic field, as it's being called now, and that if you understood these laws, you wouldn't do bad stuff because you know you can't get away with them.
And that's true. You know, it's almost like I've been listening to some podcasts on Spiritism, which has the concept of reincarnation and different levels and all that stuff. And I always try to, in my everyday encounters, I always try to throw in reincarnation and karma as a word. They may not sort of get it or understand it, but you're sort of like putting it in their subconscious, sort of like planting seeds to those concepts. And I think that everybody who has a spiritual consciousness should be a little bit more open talking about this stuff. With their people they hang around with, you know, maybe they're afraid that they're going to be viewed as weird and all that, because it's definitely not a traditional concept in Christianity, because of course you sort of know that I guess the concept of reincarnation was taken out of the Bible thousands of years ago. But I think you sort of need to, in whatever way you can, get that concept out to people, because you would never You would never do what you would do in politics if you understood cause and effect, and quite candidly, the chickens come home to roost. You would never go into a country like Israel and slaughter hundreds of people and, you know, just killing them if you didn't know that there were going to be repercussions that you would have to face, you know? So I think there needs to be a little bit more education and try to get this these concepts, the higher laws, more into the public domain. That would be a good way to try to change things. It wouldn't change overnight, but, you know, it would slowly change. Those are, since we're talking about a crazy world, that's my thoughts on fixing it slowly but surely.
Okay. Well, it makes sense. I mean, people usually turn to God in times of crisis, difficulties, hardship, usually when there's nobody else out there helping. So they kind of turn to God, you know, as they say, there's no unbelievers in foxholes kind of thing. So as we move forward in time, maybe this is God's plan. Maybe this spiraling down to this bottom of the barrel situation that we find ourselves in the world, where there's so much anger, and then there's hate, and then there's evil, that maybe this is just the situation that we're in to turn us around and get people to start looking at, you know, is there a God? I've heard that recently. Somebody said there is no God. But as the times are the darkest, that's usually when, you know, a messiah, a prophet, a guru, a sage, a spiritual entity or being shows up. They don't necessarily show up in the good times because everybody's having good times. They don't need some light or some guidance. But then a teacher, a master, or somebody shows up in the world, in different parts of the world, in different countries in the world, different religions in the world. We can look around and see all of the world's great religions as well had holy prophets and beings show up. Every religion, has the idea of angels and interdimensional beings and spiritual enlightened beings that have come into the world, have come for a while, and then have returned to the higher dimensions. Every single religion has that. There is this belief of looking at something going on in ether, something going on in the great beyond. That's where everybody comes from. I call it the pre-existence, and we're all destined to go back to the post-existence. And if we look at that idea as a pre-existence and post-existence being the same place, then we're actually going where we came from. We're going home. But while we're here, we do some really amazing things as human beings. And part of those things we do, some are constructive and some are destructive. And, you know, you're on the right track as far as more people ought to know that you don't get away with anything. And that, you know, there is this after physical life, spiritual life, and a consciousness, in essence, where you're going. So coming down to the point is like teaching people about these things, these dimensions and these, you know, kingdoms above, heavens above, and getting them to understand that there are certain rules, if you will, or laws like karma and like the law of cause and effect. Maybe, just maybe, those people who are not so enlightened would understand that they ought to be, and that there's consequences. I once said to somebody, and I'll say it again tonight just because it's a little humorous. It's not meant to offend, but it's meant to be provoked thinking. Atheists believe there is no God. And then when they die, are they going to be surprised? So that was the line, one-liner that I said somewhere on a radio show in years past. And so the idea is, can you prove there is God? I think you can. I think you can see that God is in creation and that there is this force that we call creation or the creative power, growth, the constructive part. But also in the same realm, there's that destructive part. There's a, you know, there's a season for all things. There's a birth season and a death season. And so we live in this world temporarily. I don't think we could stand to live here, Herb, if we were hanging out for hundreds of years. I mean, it is enough. You know, let's take a recess and go back home and then come back and try it here again. But I think the point is well taken, inasmuch as what are people doing when they're here? Are they helping? Are they hindering? Are they constructive or are they destructive? People who take the name of God and, you know, and that's where a holy war, they kill people in the name of God, they harm people in the name of God, they're mixed up. God, I think, as all the religious figures that I've studied, come to understand or listen to their teachings, not one of them preaches death and destruction. They do the opposite. They teach the golden rule in various ways, which is don't do anything to anyone else that you wouldn't want have to happen to yourself, which is a cause and effect, and which can go back to a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye balance of spiritual law. So teaching that, I think, is it has two, maybe more, but two sort of levels. One being that you can inform people about it. Two, they, by observation, can see that people who do good all the time, good things happen to them. Sure, some bad things happen as well, but they're happier. And the people who do really bad things, they're in pain all the time, and bad things happen to them. And when they die, those people that took the life of all those innocents last Saturday or so, they're going to meet those spiritual souls in this post-existence. And, oh, my God, is there going to be an awful lot of explanation or apologies going on? I'm being somewhat humorous when I say that, because I don't really know what's going to go on over there, but if you believe you have a soul, then what I'm saying makes sense. If you don't believe you have a soul, then what I'm saying won't make any sense at all. But if you believe you have a soul and you're in the post-existence and somebody that's done some really bad stuff to you who also has a soul, they're going to show up. And what are they going to do? Well, there is going to be some sort of confrontation, atonement, communication, or whatever, however that those laws exist on those higher dimensions, there's going to be something. And maybe, just maybe, you have to come back here into this place we call the world and work it out again. Enemies one time turn out to be best friends the next time. So they sort of learn this balance back and forth. So I'm not sure if we still have Herb on the line here, Paul, but I think that's somewhat of an answer to his question.
No, Herb has dropped off, apparently, and we're going to go next to the 561 area code with an exchange of 287 in the 561 area code. Hello, you're on the air.
Sounds like they're having a little spiritual nappy time.
Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
I'm putting people to sleep in my voice here. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello in the 561 area code.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello.
Here you go.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering, it's like it feels as if you know, the pandemic and everything's slow and things are expensive. I was wondering if, you know, my finances might be okay soon. It might, you know.
Well, you're asking about a personal question, and so an impression about the finances getting better. I can see that you're looking at the money really, you know, pretty good. You've got it in your hand, so you're counting your pennies, I guess. And the next thing to learn how to save it is also to learn how to get a little extra money. Now, what I'm about to say, other people who have been in situations like I'm about to say would be in agreement. We had somebody on our YouTube channel talking about this just the other day. You can go to my YouTube channel, go through my website, douglasjamescottrell.com, and click on the program there, the Douglas James Cottrell Show, and you'll find a wide variety of people that we have been interviewing recently have gone from the so-called rags-to-riches story. They've all had moments, sometimes sleeping in their car, sometimes without any food, and now they are doing very well. So I would suggest you, my friend, to go there and listen to those motivational speakers, those people who have overcome a lot of difficulty in their life. And sort of our guest speakers on those programs have had these experiences. And so that just comes to mind as we're talking. And people can, anybody listening in the program, please go there. It's the Douglas James Cottrell Show on YouTube, and you'll find my channel there. We also have the podcast called The Wake Up, and the audio interviews are on the podcast called Wake Up. But the point being is they've all found a way to believe in themselves, to do things, to unlearn the directions, opinions, or criticisms of others. And as such, they found a way. And now they're on my channel anyway, talking about how they did it. And I see for yourself, that's a long answer, but I see for yourself, like you've got the money in your hand, and now I'm proposing you look for more money and more ways to make money, even if it's a little bit. And you'll find that the opportunities are coming. I can see you knocking on doors. I can actually see you knocking on your hand on doors in my mind's eye. And people, giving you something or glad that you're there. It's like you're meeting them or you're helping them or you're doing something for them. So there's another opportunity or two, whatever that means for sure, whatever, you know, you're able and capable to facilitate that opportunity, there's something coming. So I think by Thanksgiving, things are going to be a little tight, but soon after Thanksgiving, on its way to Christmas, you're going to have a better end of the year. That's what I see for you right now. But do go to the channel and listen to those people who have made it from rags to riches. And it was simple things. I remember one guest told me that she made she heard somewhere in the family that when she was 7 years old, that money was not important. I'm paraphrasing. And so she believed all of her life that money wasn't important, and she was poor all of her life until this revelation came that she had a flashback that when she was 7 years old and she heard adults talking about money, more like they were having a fight, I think, and she adopted that idea that money was kind of bad and money was not important. And she didn't understand that. And all of her life she was impoverished until she remembered that time as a seven-year-old that somebody put something in her mind that was incorrect. And she changed her mind, changed her concept of money, and she did quite well. So that's one of the stories that's on there. It's very interesting. But for yourself, I think, you know, a little tighter till Thanksgiving, but then towards the end of the year, towards Christmas, things are going to brighten up for you. Do you have anything going on right now that would make sense for that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like I'm at my job, and it's like it has something, you know, I was at a job for 3 years, and then this job for 7 months, and we're not getting the money we made as we did at the last job. And we were told that this job was going to even pay more, and it's not. And it's just upsetting, you know, when you're not making the money that you were, and that kind of thing. It's, you know.
Okay.
And,
well, what's stopping you from going someplace where you could be making more money?
Well, like in a resume, you want to show that you're there, like you're somewhere there, like a while. And because I was at my other job, and I was there a long time, and I don't, and it was hard to find even the other one because a lot of people out of work. And I work long hours, so it's hard to find time to look for work, you know, and start over again looking, interviewing, that kind of thing.
Okay. So
yeah,
what would you like to do? What would be your dream job?
Well, I like doing sales. But we're not making as much overtime. We're not getting overtime, and we're not making as much commission. I like sales, but I like making more in commission, and I like overtime, too.
Okay. Well, I saw you knocking on doors in my vision, so I would say that's more like opportunity knocking. So what you just need to do is to write down what you just told me or listen to the show tomorrow in the archive version of the Global Village International Radio Show and listen to what you just told me. You just gave me the solution on how you can make more money. The only thing stopping you is what is in your mind. First thing you said to me was that you need to show you've been someplace for a long time on a resume, and that's hard to do, and maybe that's why people don't hire you. That's not accurate. People hire you on your ability. And because you're in between jobs and because you haven't been long-term in different places, that's kind of the way things are these days. There are people now, employers, looking for people. And people are refusing work because they're working on their computer, they're doing something else, they've moved from the city to the country, they've changed their lifestyle, all kinds of reasons. So the idea of not having a long-term, stable kind of employment record, that's kind of not current these days. It's, remember, an employer doesn't give you a job. They don't give you a job. You earn the job. And the one thing is, if you're an asset to a company, they're going to keep you. And they're going to find ways and means to keep you. And in our sort of mindset, it's like, we go 9 to 5, we go home, we don't care about the company till we come back to work at 9 o'clock the next day. I'm paraphrasing sort of this stuff. And so we say, you know, like, we don't have this intention, this ambition, I should say, of getting ahead. And so opportunities are all over the place. Got to learn how to bend over and pick them up. But the first thing is, you already said what you wanted. You wanted more money, and you wanted to get overtime. Well, overtime's time and a half, but why not get time and a half for just regular time? You know what I mean? Think big. But people will hire you because of your ability to serve them. You serve the company. You be of more service to people. Expect to be well paid and give the best you can give and charge a good dollar, and you will be. The only thing that's limiting you right now is what's in your mind and what you think other people are thinking or looking at as important. And I'm here to tell you, because I deal with people who are employers and people who are employees or people who are service contracts and people who are on salary, the more service you give, the better your income will be. Of course, if you're someplace where you're not getting what you think you're worth, then by all means, you have the freedom to go and look elsewhere. You don't have to be locked into some place just because it's going to look good on the resume. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. It's just because before I was at the job for 3 years, there were gaps of employment, and employers just keep asking why. What's with the gaps of employment? That's why.
Yeah, well, you tell them the truth. You say, I worked here for 3 years. I worked there for 7 months. I'm ambitious. I want to improve myself. And the company you know, remember COVID was still here. I remember we had all kinds of difficulties with different things in the world stopping companies from even operating. And so people look at that and they kind of like, okay, that's what you used to do. What can you do now? They don't look at what happened before. Okay?
No, that's encouraging. I'm going to definitely do that.
Well,
I'm going to definitely start, you know, putting up a new resume.
Well, okay, I'm going to encourage you to go back and listen to those YouTube channel. You'll love it because there are people on there who have much more eloquently or better than what I just said, going to give you good advice on how to get to where you want to go. Because I think there's one of them that had exactly the same circumstance that you're in. Okay? Go have a listen to them. You'll find they're amazing. Go to my website, Douglas James Cottrell, and click on the Douglas James Cottrell Show, or go to YouTube and type my name in, and you'll find something like that. Okay?
Thank you.
We have a lot
so
of
much.
Callers here we have to go to. I wish you well. Just I see you knocking on doors, so that's opportunity knocking. I'm going to get Paul to go to a commercial, a couple of them, while my tech guy is here trying to fix my mic. We'll be right back, everyone, and more with The World is Going Crazy. Let's talk. It's Open Mic Tonight.
You're invited to embark on your own spiritual journey today by discovering the expansive works and services from Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Elevate your being physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Visit DouglasJamesCottrell.com. With over a dozen enlightening books and meditative audio downloads to help guide you through life's complexities. Delve deep into the mysteries of human consciousness, the future, and the spiritual realm. As the author of Secrets of Life, The Complete New Age Health Guide, Conversations with the Akashic Field, and more, Douglas opens the doors to realms most people only dream of visiting. The writings of Dr. Douglas James Cottrell are based on his unique ability to visit the Akashic Field, where all knowledge since the dawn of man is stored. You can read about the predictions, many of which have already come true, and planetary changes, health remedies, human growth are all written. Go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and view the selections of books and MP3 audio available now. That's DouglasJamesCottrell.com. One of the most poignant topics of discussion in today's world is the evidence of earthly changes and what began as what the media called global warming. Did you know our Global Village host wrote the most detailed predictive book about the future of our planet? The New Earth is a book that drills down to specific events, many of which have already come true, but much more than severe weather patterns, seismic eruptions, the New Earth tells us how to prepare and understand how societies and governments will be forced to accommodate these future events. Originally published as The New Renaissance, the updated manuscript is one of Dr. Douglas Cottrell's best-selling books, Pole Shift, Coastal and Inland Changes, Volcanoes and Earthquakes, Rising Temperatures, Specific Landmass Changes, Healing Our Emotional Health During These Changes, and so much more. Go to DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com. That's DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com for immediate access to your printed copy of The New Earth.
You think about you and your family's health every minute, every day, not just when sick. We believe healthcare should bring results and rejuvenate the body. That's why Dr. Douglas James Cottrell compiled some of his best tips from his readings into a book, The Complete New Age Health Guide, Volume 1. From nutrition, anti-aging and skincare, to serious disorders and diseases like autism, PTSD, and cancer. Find out more at DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com or buy a copy on Amazon today.
Here's a little book packed with over 350 simple inspirational messages that you can use on a daily basis. It's called Gems of Wisdom.
If you follow these simple steps to reach the divine within, you'll change not only yourself, but the world. A must-read for the spiritual-minded person. Available now at douglasjamescottrell.com. Gems of Wisdom. Welcome back to the Global Village International Radio Show with your hosts, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell and Doug Bentley. Tonight, it's open mic night, so call into the show at 718-766-4421. While the world is going crazy, we're all humans and need the opportunity to talk out our feelings and opinions. We're discussing all things spiritual and esoteric. Now, once again, here's your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
And while we were on commercial, Paul, my tech guy came in and he pressed some buttons, and I think we're back on the microphone here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, Douglas, yes.
Okay. We're back on real radio now. I'm back on the microphone, and the cell phone is retired now, so there we go. Okay, before the break, we were talking to a nice lady who I saw knocking on doors. She expressed her desire to make more money, and I'm not sure if everybody could hear clearly. I was on my cell phone at the time, calling in as a listener, and I was suggesting to go to my YouTube channel and listen to some of the people who are on there now. There's some very wonderful and top-notch motivational speakers. There is, I think, Dr. Noah St. John, I think, is there, and he has found the way of affirmations to affirmations and how that works when you form what you're going to do. It's wonderful interviews. Go there, and while you're on my channel, please subscribe and give me a tick or give me a 10 out of 10 or whatever it is that's on there. But just as we're talking to that lady, that came to my mind to let you know that we have some wonderful speakers coming up on the YouTube channel. Plus, we have the Wake Up podcast, which is also getting high acclaim. And that's the audio of those interviews. And Paul Hughes, our producer here, has been involved in that immensely, along with my son, Doug, who's done help with the podcast, and our friend, Jack, who is putting together the Zoom version of these shows. So that's in the background, my friends. And here we have Blog Talks working well tonight. What happened? Did you press something? I don't know. My tech guy, a.k.a. my son, came in, and he was doing some things here, and we seem to be okay and back on track. So back to the show. The world is going crazy. Let's talk. You know, there's something karmic about that, Paul, Doug. You know, maybe I should have picked a better title than tonight. But anyway, it was good to hear from Herb. Herb's a friend of the show. He's a well-known author in Rhode Island, and we're pleased to hear from him. And I'm wondering if he was having a little issues with the audio back and forth as he was on his phone. So where are we headed next, Paul?
We're going to take a Skype call from the 111 area code. Douglas, hello, you are on the air.
Hello.
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 Hi, Dr. Douglas. It's raining here in New York City. This is Melvin.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Okay. Well, hey,
not,
that's the way life
goes. It's not snowing, though.
Sorry. Okay, I'm trying to kind of, sorry. Can you hear me now?
We can, yes.
Okay, great, because you were distant there. We're having issues here with tech. I'm actually also job hunting at the moment, and it's kind of, I'm also a little worried, and I'm hoping that I manage to score something before Thanksgiving, or definitely, hopefully, back to work by December. You were very helpful before, a couple of years ago, and you were spot on, so I definitely would appreciate your input.
Well, if the past is any indicator of the future, okay, what I see when you were talking was a bow and arrow, and I saw you pulling the bow back and the arrow you know, zooming away from the bull. And that too, you're on the mark. You're zeroing in. You're on target. Like, and those are interpretations of what I'm seeing. So looking at that, you know, I think before Thanksgiving, I can see a big fat turkey bird kind of thing. And it's like, it's still alive, but somebody's got it by the neck. And I take that to mean that's the big prize, that you're gonna get some big fat turkey before, you know, for Thanksgiving. So it's just like you're taking the bow and you're turning it left or right, you know, zeroing in on the mark, and then you're going to go for it. So I think that's...
So you do see me getting any inkling as to what, you know, the company or crowd that I might end up with, or...
Well, I'm kind of wondering if that turkey has anything to do with it, but it looks to me like I'm watching the pardoning of the turkey at the White House every year. That seems to be the background. So would you be involved in politics or commercial enterprises that would have any political background?
No, not – well, more government background that I tend to kind of end up with, have in the past. So that might be an indicator. That's good to take note of.
Well, I'm using the word political, but again, it was like the White House or something, you know, the ceremony.
Understood. My last place was actually based out of the same area as the White House was, a little bit further out. But yeah, because I worked remote, but I also went down there on and off. So I think everybody's doing hybrid work these days, or, you know, whatever what needs to be done. Thank you very much. That's very interesting. And thank you very much for your generosity in doing this for people. It is crazy times, and hopefully we pray that our leaders make the right decisions worldwide. So that's been very worrisome, I think, for many people.
We have, unfortunately, announced some pretty tragic events that have happened because I have these visions. The one that happened last Saturday, I announced on our Sunday church service, it's a Zoom service, and I had, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I saw this horrific thing happening to little kiddies with guns, and it was so horrible. But I did, because, you know, God gives the messages for me to as a prophet, so to speak. You know, God speaks to the people through, you know, people like me that get the message or the vision or the prophecy. And so I did say it. And it's one of the few times where I woke up with saying, no, I don't want this to happen. Or that I actually said that somebody was filming the event on a cell phone. And I said, no, they're all actors. This is not real. I did not want to believe it. But we're capable humans are capable of doing some pretty bad things. The worst that you can imagine or think, somewhere there are people in the world that are able and capable of doing this. They're not humans, they're subhumans. They're not spiritual, but they're not, you know, dumb, deaf,
human,
and unfeeling. They have some good in them somewhere, but they got to climb up that ladder. And right now they're in a big mucky hell hole of misery and pain and hate, and unfortunately, we have to help them up. We don't want to, but we have to help them somehow so they won't do it again. And how that comes about, I don't know. Mm-hmm, go ahead.
Do you see improvement come next year, come spring or summer of next year? Is all in this direction? Things turning around better.
Well, Doug Bentley here tonight had a vision. He was told 3 years. We have to prepare for the worst. And so that would be from 23 to 26 or 7. And then from 27 to 30, 32 or 3, that's going to be the darkest of the dark times. But after that, somewhere between 32 and 3, 2032, 2033, we're going to get back on track. So,
goodness.
For about 10 years, we're going to be going through this down and up. And I have been for decades, and even my book, The New Earth, which is available on my website, douglasjamescottrell.com.
I have it, actually. And I have, it's on my to-do read list. So eventually I will get I do actually go to your, I have a number of your books, actually, I have to go through. I think you rewrote, or you re-edited one that I need. I also have your medical book, too. So,
thank you.
Some great stuff. Thank you so much.
Well, I was just saying to people, these things were predicted. Thank you very much for purchasing the books. I do hope they are of great service to you. And again, people can go to my website and look at this. The idea that these things were predicted means that they were coming. And if things are predicted that are coming and then they do come, there is an after time. There is a getting through this time. This is a rite of passage for spiritual people. The way to the heavenly dimensions, the way to awakening, the way to becoming more spiritual is not an easy way. Yeshua, the Savior, or Jesus the Christ, predicted or said or taught there were difficult times coming, but the way to spiritual illumination is through long suffering. And everybody kind of thinks long suffering is kind of maybe, you know, arguments or difficulties or disbelief or religious polarization, but it's not. It's going through the times that we're going through right now. Then the same as the topics we're talking about, people are concerned about how do baby boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen C see the world? A whole lot differently, I'm afraid. But, you know, we're all here. We're all in the same box, or we're on the same sphere, and we have to sort of, you know, what we view the world is kind of our reality, and I'm trying to encourage people that to have a broader view, be more inclusive, and know that there's, right now, this is the most important time, these difficult times that we're going through and will continue to go through for a little bit. This is the most important time because this is an opportunity for us to grow spiritually. A lot of pain, but a lot of people are coming out of wherever they are and helping. When those immigrants were bussed up to the north, people came out of their homes. They didn't expect the immigrants being sent up from Texas or Florida or wherever it was, and they arrived unannounced, and yet people were taken in. Now, it might have been a political prank or some sort of a stunt, but those people's lives were being affected by the people putting them on buses and promising them things and sending them up north with no clothes on their back or very little. But that's going to backfire because those people in those communities came out to help. And again, America is a place of immigrants, and it's one of the few, I think, unspoken truths that America was peopleized, I can say it, populized, if you're there, whatever, by immigrants, in floods of immigrants back in the day. And it's the same always. America is the land of milk and honey. America is the land of opportunity. And people, unfortunately, shouldn't get spoiled with all the freedoms they have. And we should try to look after each other. I think, and I've said this before on this show and others, I'm talking to everybody, that I once said, I wonder if the influx of immigrants all around the world was a spiritual test for the rest of us. And you know, I still think that is the test. How we treat strangers, how we treat people who are have left their country for whatever reason, economic or religious persecution, like a lot of people from Europe did to come to America, or for to get away from tyrants and evil people, like the situation that happened last Saturday. Whatever reason they came, and we should welcome them. They're not going to take our jobs. I've been hearing that all my life. They are going to add to the economy because every one of those people, once they get a little cash in their pocket, is going to have a place to live, and they're going to need a refrigerator, and they're going to need a washer and dryer. They're going to need a TV set for sure, and they absolutely are going to buy a computer or have an iPad or a cell phone. Wow, that's income to the country. You know, they are consumers. That's the best. Then they buy insurance. Then they buy, you know, stuff. Then their kids go to school, and the kids become doctors and lawyers, and the country in a generation or two has benefited. That's how we should look at immigrants. Anyway.
I am one of the immigrants. With you.
I'll get off my soapbox now. Go ahead, sorry.
No. And thank you very much for your service, both you and your fellow Doug and the other chap who's manning the phones. I appreciate it very much.
That's Paul. Thank you very much. It's always a delight to hear you call in from time to time. Thank you for being a friend of the show and one of our global villagers here on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Call back and let us know how you did. Okay, Paul, where are we going next?
Douglas, we've got a few calls in the queue, and we're going to the 224 area code with an 857 prefix, the 224 area code. Hello, you are on Blog Talk Radio on the Global Village.
Hello, how are you?
We're doing fine,
thank
you.
I've called before. I absolutely love your show. I think you're the best in the world. I really admire you. You've helped me so much before in the past.
Wow. Thank you very, very much.
No, it's true. I mean, you're incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Thank you.
I wanted to tell you that I greatly appreciate everything you do, and you just give me such great insight and everything. My life is, I'm a teacher. I've spoken to you before. I'm a special ed teacher. And once you had a guest on, and we were discussing autism for a really long period of time because I have a son with autism, and you've told me, like, you've given me insight into him because I know you have, but you had a daughter that was, you know, disabled too. So, you know, I really appreciate that. The problem is right now that we're going through a lot of horrible things. I'm trying to keep a really positive attitude, but my husband's business, he's in market research, and it's been falling apart. And it's the first time in 30 years that he has applied for a job, and he's, like, really sad, and we're really worried that we're going to lose our home. I'm having money that I've saved over the years, like, flying out the window right now, paying our mortgage. My paychecks are going for, you know, all these expenses that we have, and I'm, like, really scared because I'm exhausted with working. I have a hard job. And I feel like I'm saving nothing now. Like, everything's flowing out the window. And at the same time, I'm trying to get him to cut back at his expenses. But just this week, he found out that his mother's greatly ill, and that they want to put her in hospice. And I'm trying to support him emotionally. I'm just trying to keep things together. But it's been really hard. You know, I've been under a lot of pressure. And I'm just wondering if you can help me with, you know, maybe giving me some hope. And this whole thing going on in Israel has been so horrific and depressing about all these people getting murdered and families, you know, being bludgeoned to death and shot and all this stuff. I mean, I've been very worried about that because I've been to Israel. I've traveled there a lot, and I love the country. It's really a beautiful country. People get along very well. And, of course, the news media makes everything horrible. But, you know, it's just, I feel like there's, like, a black cloud over me, and I just want it to go away. And I've been praying a lot, you know, and I just want some luck, like, a bit of happiness in my life again, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I was going to suggest, is that you and your husband take a couple of days, and nothing interferes with this time. This is your personal time. And I can see you holding your hands and looking in each other's eyes and saying, we can do this. This is pretty tough, but God is not going to give us anything more than we can bear. Take us to the max, but we can handle this. And then take some time to cuddle and to get back to what life is all about, instead of worries and difficulties and all kinds of possibilities that are derogatory or negative. It's kind of say, okay, I'm okay today. This is what I said in some dark times. I said, I'm okay today. I'm okay now. I'm safe today. I'm all right. And that got me back on the direction. I was going to say, don't listen to the news and don't worry about anything beyond your fingertips, okay? That's other people's business, and it is depressing, and you're sensitive, and you're picking up on these things in the world, as I am and as other people are. But these couple of things. And then the first thing I saw was you need some help. Your husband might need to reach out and say to people like, you know, there's got to be some support groups here somewhere. There's got to be some people going through the same thing we are. And you need to talk things out. But the first thing you need is to be held and cuddled and said, it's okay. That's going to be like medicine to you. Can you do something simple like that?
Yeah. But what also, too, I'm, like, worried about all this money they've saved up during the years and just to see it all go away. I mean, do you foresee me, like, having to work till I'm, like, 90 years old? I mean, do you think I'll be, like, able to make some of it back so that I can at least have a semi money put aside for my child that has disabilities? You know what I'm saying? Because I've been saving this money for a long time, and I'm so scared about that, too. It's, like, it's making me sick, that money that I've saved for so long that I wanted to leave for, like, my son with disabilities, or when I'm older, if something, you know, something catastrophic happens to me that I'll have money to pay, like, bills, is going to be puffed up into the year. But at the same time, I'm scared of losing my home. What should I do? What do you foresee?
Number one, you have assets.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you are rich. You have assets. So I want you to start thinking, I'm rich. I've got assets. Okay? I'm changing your mind. We're flipping the coin. Okay? So you say, wait a minute. I got assets. Look at all this furniture. That's mine. Look at that car. That's mine. Look at this house. It's mine. And so you start talking like that to yourself very firmly. And you don't need to convince yourself. You just look and say, here, I got this stuff. And the second thing is to say, now I know why I was saving up all that money. It was helping me get through this dark time. I'm okay. I did that, saved up that money, because we know finances go up and finances come down. Mm-hmm. And we go up and down. And usually three times in your life you hit rock bottom in finances. And then usually by that time life gets near the end and you're okay. You know, the point being is, those, you talk to yourself, I'm rich. I want to be richer. I need more. Mm-hmm. I need more, not I want more. I need more. And as you talk to yourself firmly like that, what happens to the worries? I heard you chuckle just a minute ago.
No,
that's
it just
goes
away. You're right. You're absolutely right.
So what happened to that black cloud? Sorry, what happened to that black cloud? It went away.
It's
gone. That's how you live every day. Go ahead. What was your question next? Comments?
Do you foresee my husband getting, like, his business becoming busy again, or do you see him getting a job? Like, what do you foresee with him? Because I'm really worried about him.
Well, again, one can't go in more than one direction at a time. And he's just feeling betrayed. He's feeling like nobody loves him. He feels like, like he's at his wit's end, or there doesn't seem to be opportunities like there used to be. He used to have things come to him pretty easily. So this is the wake-up call and saying, okay, what happened? Well, nothing happened. Things changed. And so the way to succeed is always to change and know when it's time to change. And he didn't know what that was. He didn't know it was time to change. And so he kind of, like, you know, is a step or two behind. So right now it's like, okay, what can I change? What can I do with what I have? What can I change? What can I do to be more prosperous? And I'm not trying to sound like a cheerleader here. I'm trying to take a good look at the assets and say, okay, what's the most valuable cargo here on the ship? We've got to throw the least valuable cargo off, but where's the most valuable? That's what we're sticking with. So some hard decisions and paring down the company to its most profitability, even if that means letting some people go or making some changes that, you know, like I've got a solid gold piece here and I've got a really nice silver piece, but I'm going to have to throw the silver away to keep the gold. Those are hard decisions to make, but I would suggest he join up some sort of businessman's group or people of his peers, okay? Not people that are going to say, oh, you're a lousy businessman, I can't help you, go away. But people say, you know what? I've been through this before. This is what I did. And so it's okay to ask for help. I don't think he reaches out too much and asks for help. He's, you know, maybe think that he ought to know it all, you know, like he's a successful man. But, you know, even Jesus asked for help, you know. we all do. The disciples prayed for money, you know. We all do. So by being grateful, number one, the law of gratitude is to be grateful for all that you have. And then to look around and say, holy moly, I'm pretty wealthy. Look, this is all my stuff. And you have assets. The opposite to that is having no assets. Then you're in trouble. But you're not. And the money you've saved up is helping you get through this difficult time. The idea is not to project the moment now of difficulty into the future, because you do not have any knowledge, right, or indication of what the future is going to be. You only know what you have today and where you've come from.
Right.
That you know for sure.
Yeah.
So you pray for the best, you pray for prosperity, you pray for money, and then you go out and you knock on doors and ask, can you help me? You know, like I got a business situation. I know you guys are retired here and you used to have the same problem. What did you do when? And they'll say, well, you know, let us come over, have a look. Sure, we can help you out. We got nothing else to do sitting around here playing cards, making that up.
Right.
But anyway, you start to look and you start to reach out for help. And God provides the solution. Pray for opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for people to bring you opportunities. And then don't worry about what's going on in the Middle East. It's horrible. When that comes up on the news and it says, blah, 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 you know, the following images are graphic, blah, 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 I switch channels.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I know there's somebody that just got blown up in a car. I don't need to see the camera up close with the bloodstains. I just switch channels. And I'm watching a lot of game shows now. The hottest show on there is called Press Your Luck. The next one is Family Feud. Then they got the switch, and then they got something else, you know. So that's what I do to relax my mind. And then I remember I could be dead tomorrow, you know. I could be dead tomorrow. I got no guarantee. Okay.
Right.
So I got control over today. And you say that to yourself, not in a negative way, but you say, you know, okay, what's the worst? Well, if the worst is I could be dead tomorrow, then anything else I'm dealing with problems, money, my child's future or whatever, all those things, that's nothing. If I'm dead tomorrow, what happened? Why worry? So then you start to focus on, okay, what can I do today? And then, you know, I had those same worries about my daughter, Sherri-Ann Cottrell, and, you know, what happened, what was going to happen to her if something happened to my wife and myself? Well, Sherri passed away, and we didn't have to worry about that anymore.
Right.
But up until the time, she was 38, up until the time, we were always worried about what if, what if, what if. So I throw that out there as a sort of a thing like, okay, we're all in God's hands. So, but enjoy the moment, enjoy your children. But I think your husband has to reach out and go to some serious coaches, people who have been through, especially people who have been through the same problems he has, and he has to make some decisions on what's valuable and what's not.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
He's right now looking for a job, and I'm thinking about starting a business, so, you know, on the side. So we'll see what happens. But thank you very much, because now I don't feel as bad about taking my nest egg and breaking it apart and just paying bills, because these are things that we really need, and I don't want to stress them out anymore.
I always look at that.
He's very stressed out right now.
Yeah, I looked at that as a cosmic cash register. You know, you put money in and you take money out. You know, in the cosmos, they always have. There's enough. Just pray for money. Pray for opportunities to make money. Pray for money to come to you in all the nice ways possible. And then look for opportunities. You know, be on the lookout for money coming your way. And it does. It always comes.
Yep. Well, thank you so much. You're amazing. My favorite. I'll talk to you soon then.
Please go to my YouTube channel and subscribe and like me and all those other ring the bells and give me a heart or whatever it's out there. Apparently, I need 1,000 subscribers and I need 3,000 hours of content or something, and then they might give me 10 cents every time somebody looks at it.
You don't need that. just be yourself. You're the best.
Oh, no,
I'm not kidding
no,
you when I say you're the best.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But this is the next important move in my career is to get onto this YouTube channel. We have now some very successful outlets like the podcast, and there's
mm-hmm.
a whole bunch of social things that are out there, but we are attracting some very powerful, knowledgeable, wise speakers that maybe your husband might want to listen to. There's a lady that I think her name was Judy Wilkins Smith, and she
mm-hmm.
she counsels people like your husband. See what she has mm-hmm. to say.
Okay, sounds great.
Yeah.
Thank you so
anyway,
much.
I wish you well.
Bless you. Thank you, dear.
I do
Thank
wish
you so
well.
Much. Bye-bye.
Oh, you're very welcome. I hope everything I said tonight helps a little bit and keeps a smile on your face. But you and your husband, try to go away for a weekend, you know? Nothing gets in the way. You two guys go away and make sure the children are babysat okay or all right, and then you don't think about anything else but how it was when you first met. Okay? Okay, Paul, where are we going next?
We have got several calls. The next one is the 917 area code.
Okay.
The 917 area code. Hello, you are on the air.
And you've got...
And turn the computer down a bit.
The voluntary part of the brain to all of the body, basically the stomach.
Well, Douglas?
Organs in the body.
Yeah, we got Doug.
I think
you got your radio on. Doug,
we'll move on to the 858 area code in the 428 exchange. Hello, you're on the air with Dr. Douglas.
Hi, how's it going? My name is Beto. I'm calling from California.
Good to. I think we've spoken to you before. I think I recognize that voice. Have we spoken before?
I recognize his voice.
Yeah, you should.
Beto?
I think so.
Yes.
What can we
going?
Do for you? We're doing well tonight. We've somehow managed to conquer the Munchkins tonight. I think Blog Talk was probably monitoring our... I really truly believe this. They were probably monitoring our show, and they've managed to, in the background, do something that Paul has complete control over the switchboard. We're putting people like I'm not sure in the green room or the whatever, but we seem to be doing very well. But anyway, what's up? What's going on with you tonight?
Oh, you know, same old, same old. I'm trying to find a job, and I applied for one, and I really thought I was going to get it. I don't know why. And I didn't. And I didn't. And I really thought I was. I don't know why I thought that, but I didn't, and I'm wondering, what do you see anything for me in the very, very near future on what I will?
Yeah,
I
think you're going to get more than one opportunity. It's like I see you standing in front of three doors, and you know that old game show, what's behind door number one, what's behind door number one, Monty Hall, or whatever. It's kind of, that's what it looks like, you know, there's three doors. So you're going to have more than likely three opportunities all show up at the same time.
Oh, wow.
Have you got lots of resumes out and things like that, or does that make sense? Is that possible?
I'm sure it's possible, but I mean, I had applied for a job and I got called back for a test. Within like 2 days, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I went in, I took the test. I thought I was going to ace it. I didn't. I didn't make it by one point. And
okay,
so
immediately you walk down the street to the competition of that company and you apply. That's what I suggest. When you're, you know, like you have no loyalty and you're not betraying anybody if you go to competitor one to competitor two to competitor three, it doesn't matter. It's what you're able and capable of providing. And so if you just miss the job by one point, well, then you run over to their competition and apply there. Makes sense?
Yeah.
Hey, what you're looking for is how to be of service. You're looking for a company that you can serve, that you can become an asset, that the you serve the company in their ends, which is only one, and that is to make money. And as you realize that your job there is to make the company money, as much money as you possibly can make, never mind what you're getting paid, you're there to make the company as much money as you possibly can, then you'll become an asset. And you will go up in the company ladder. You will be appreciated because, you know, if you're a boss sitting around and you have six people working for you, one of them is making 1.5 times as much profit for you than the others, what are you going to do? You're going to keep that one. You're going to give them encouragement, give them bonuses or whatever. So always learn, always remember to be an asset and find ways and means of going into the office or talking, you know, the proper way and saying, listen, I can handle this job with my one arm tied behind my back. Have you got anything that's a little more challenging, anything more responsible, you know, anything else I can do? Because I really want to do more. They will give you more. They will give you self-improvement. That's how you make it up the ladder. And if you think the boss knows what's going on in the office or what you're doing and how much you're, they don't. They only know when they see productivity or they see results. And then you have to talk it up a little bit. You have to go in there and be a little bit of a cheerleader and say, hey, boss, you know, I just was speaking to one of the suppliers there and I noticed that some of the product was wet. I suggested that they have a tarp over the truck before they drop it off here, or there's a tarp outside in the shed that needs to be. And the boss will say, well, thank you. I learned that lesson when I was 16 years old, when my employer told me when we were short on supplies. I think they were like nails or something, rivets. And he said, you think I know how many rivets are in that box? You use them every day. Why didn't you come and tell me we're getting down halfway? And I never, ever forgot that he doesn't know everything. I always used to thought the boss knows everything, right? Well, they don't. They don't. And so if you can be a little bit of a cheerleader, have a good attitude and say, you know, I'm here, this company, I'm very grateful for, it gives me my livelihood. And from the newspaper I used to work for in the Toronto Daily Star, I once stood outside the place and I looked up with genuine gratitude. I said, I thank you for everything I have. If it wasn't for you, meaning the company, the newspaper, I wouldn't have a house, I wouldn't have a car, I wouldn't have kids, clothes on the back of my kids. And I genuinely felt that. And then I made a mistake and I told somebody that I really liked the company and they told me, what are you, crazy? We're in a union. Our job is to get more overtime. So, but I did feel that genuine affection for and gratitude for the company that gave me my job and on all the things I had. That's how you make it in business. And I mean, if you meet up to a grumpy, stingy person who doesn't give you anything, leave. Go elsewhere. You don't need to prove yourself to somebody that has a model on how to make people work harder by getting them angry. Some people do that, you know. So you move on down and say, no, I don't think I like, this is not self-improvement in the way I go. So again, this falls into our mental health, which is the unspoken pandemic that's out there, and we're talking about it. And, you know, our cancel culture, you know, people are afraid to speak or afraid to change jobs or afraid to do things. You don't have to do it. You say, look, I'm okay. I can, you know, I'm okay today. I deserve to be better. And then when you get into mindfulness and spirituality, here we go. How can there be a refuge? What is a refuge in trying times? Well, as I just explained to that lady before, you know, there's lots to do, lots to achieve. And as you say to yourself, I'm okay today. You know, all these things are mine. Look what I've got. What are you doing? You're starting to build a positive mindfulness, and your spirituality is developing through gratitude. And then you say, oh my gosh, I'm more, I'm greater, I'm better. And it's okay to say those things to yourself. It's okay to have desires. It's okay to tell yourself you're really good at something. You're not better than everybody else in a condescending way, but you might be the best you are in the whole area of the people you work in or work for or around or whatever. And it's okay to feel that about yourself. But the point is, you know, take charge of what's going on now and don't let your mental health suffer. And as you're going out, as I said to you, okay, you went to door number one, they didn't let you in. Go to door number two. That's what I think this image means. And if they don't let you in, you go to door number three. And you'll end up right where you're supposed to be. Make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm a little bit confused because I was, you know, I worked in the medical field for a while. The majority, 99% of my experience is in the medical field. I really don't want to go back to the medical field, but if I have to, I mean, that's, you know, that.
Okay. Well, what do you want to do? Don't tell me what you don't want to do. Tell me what you want to do.
Well, I had applied for that job that I'm telling you for park and recreation, public works, you know, to mow lawns and, you know, just take care of the public parks. That's what I want to do as of now. I'd rather be working out there with, you know, not inside a hospital environment, but if I have more experience working in the hospital than I do out in the maintenance.
Okay, so why don't you just start on the ground floor? Get yourself a lawnmower, a blower, and whatever tools you need, and you throw them in the car, and you go bang on doors where older people live, and you say, hey, I can cut your lawn here for $15 an hour or whatever it is. And then you find out what you like, and then you find out, gee whiz, if I get to see, like, you know, if I work 5 hours a day, that's $75. So I work 10 hours a day, that's $150. Hey, this isn't so bad for just doing something I love to do, cutting grass, trimming. You know, you need a trimmer, you know, you need maybe a hedge clipper to, you know, whatever, you know. And so you move on up, and then you say, you know, I can work when I work. And you come and say, hello, Mrs. Smith, I can come to your house on Tuesday morning, and then Mr. Jones, I can come to your house on Tuesday afternoons. And all of a sudden you have, you know, some of your favorite places, and you work 3 days a week, 5 days a week, I don't know. And then maybe you buy a trailer and you get a bigger riding lawnmower, and you know what I mean? In other words, don't limit yourself to, you want to work through the parks and recreation department. That's one. But is there something similar? Are there large places that, you know, like corporations or corporations, institutions, whatever, that hire companies, you can go work for them. Anyway, I'm just saying, yeah, expand your horizon if that's what you want to do. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But it's really easy to get in business. You go, hello, would you like your grass cut for $20? Sure, go ahead. And by the way, I have a squeegee and a bucket and a rag here. I can, you know, like, wash your front windows for $10. How's that? Okay. That's how it's done.
Okay.
All you have to do is, you know, and look for opportunities. Somebody says, gee whiz, I got nobody, you know, I want to go to the drugstore and pick up my medications. I haven't got to drive. So, well, I'll take you there and back for $20. Sure, okay, let's go. When do you want to do it? Let's go right now. I'll just leave my lawnmower right here on the front lawn, or whatever, safe in the garage, and I will, I'll take you there for $20. Well, thank you, young man. That's so nice of you. I know people that have done this. I'm not just making this up. I remember one man who was in Montreal or thereabouts, Mount Saint-Hilaire, actually. And she was telling me this. He's such a wonderful man. He's so polite. He does everything I ask him to do. If I want him to put the eaves troughing, if it's hanging down, I want him to put a nail in there. He gets a ladder. He puts it up there. And if I need groceries or whatever. But he's so expensive. And I said, really? And she says, yes, you won't believe, I told him that the other day. I said, you know, you're really expensive. And he said, yes, ma'am, I am expensive, but I do the best I can. I do everything you want, and you never have to fix it again. And she said, yes, you're right. That's why I'm expensive. Because he was good at what he did, and he never said no, and he got well paid, and which goes to the philosophy, if you want more, figure a way out to be of more service, provide the best service you can, and expect to be well paid. He just had the tenacity of asking, where you and I would say $20, I'll speak for myself, I would say $20, he would say $50. And it worked. And of course, she never got rid of this man, even though he was expensive, because she could always count on him. He always did what he said he was going to do, never let them down, and he always did that little extra so she could count on him. And so did the other people in the neighborhood in which he serviced. So there's got to be some neighborhoods in down California way where you are that have some, you know, upscale places, you know. Working class people like me, we do it ourselves until we can't do it anymore. Then we hired a kid down the street. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we got some more callers. I love talking to you.
We wish you the best. Let us know how things work out, please.
I will. Thank you very much.
Okay, Beth.
Sorry, Douglas. I didn't mean to interrupt
you. No, you weren't. That's no problem. Let's see if Paul can work the magic buttons on the audio clips. And
you guys have a good night.
We're going to head on over to a commercial break. We'll be right back after this.
Thank you, Beto.
One of the most poignant topics of discussion in today's world is the evidence of earthly changes and what began as what the media called global warming. Did you know our Global Village host wrote the most detailed predictive book about the future of our planet? The New Earth is a book that drills down to specific events, many of which have already come true, but much more than severe weather patterns, seismic eruptions, the New Earth tells us how to prepare and understand how societies and governments will be forced to accommodate these future events. Originally published as The New Renaissance, the updated manuscript is one of Dr. Douglas Cottrell's best-selling books. Pole Shift, Coastal and Inland Changes, Volcanoes and Earthquakes, Rising Temperatures, Specific Landmass Changes, Healing Our Emotional Health During These Changes, and so much more. Go to DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com. That's DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com for immediate access to your printed copy of The New Earth.
Getting beaten up in life? Reading Conversations with the Akashic Field by Dr. Douglas James Cottrell coaches you through methods of battling fear and self-doubt to gain the spiritual strength you need for defense and stamina. Tapping into an ever-present source to help you win today. Visit DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com or Amazon today for Conversations with the Akashic Field.
Did you know that Dr. Douglas Cottrell has several other weekly channels where you can participate? Check out his Sunday International Spiritual Healing Service on Zoom, plus a Wednesday night Zoom community gathering. And you might also enjoy the Wake Up podcast exploring human consciousness, awareness, and intuition with Dr. Douglas and co-host Les Hubert. Just go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and message us on the contact page to add your name to the Zoom links of your choice. You're listening to the Global Village International Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Call in and ask a question about tonight's topic at area code 718-766-4421. That's 718-766-4421. Now, once again, here's Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Well, I hope you're enjoying the show tonight as much as I am. We're having a really good time here on the Global Village International Radio Show. A little bit of a rough start there with the munchkins and the microphones, but we've managed to, I think, work the bugs out so far so good. So tonight, call in 718-766-4421. I think we'll go another 20 minutes or so, and if you have a question or two, now's the time to call in. I know we have some people in the queue. It's been a delight touching base with you, my friends, my fellow global villagers, and it's important that we come together like this. We have some really great guests coming up in the oncoming shows. They're very well-known people. We've had some good ones here recently. I mean, excellent people, just dynamic individuals, and we have more to come. But it's important that we have this heart-to-heart every now and then, because we're all one. We're all in the same community. We have people from across the country, from New York to California here in a space of a call or two, from Herb in Rhode Island to somebody else, I think, in Florida or wherever that lady was. The point being is that we're all one. We all have the same feelings, the same desires, the same hopes, the same dreams. Remember that. And right here on the Global Village International Radio Show, we can come together and we can have a chat like this, and we can talk about the things that are, you know, concerning you. And maybe I can give a little spin on it, a different alternative, a different view. But remember this, the journey doesn't end tonight when we go off the air. It just begins for you. We're exploring the unlimited human consciousness, and we're just scraping the surface in all that we do. I'm able to do these things because I've been studying human consciousness, the soul mind, and those levels of consciousness that we call intuitive and spiritual for more than 50 years. It's a slow step-by-step process, but as long as you keep taking your steps, listening to people like me, or people that you find are talking about how they can make your life better by giving you, you know, a little coaching, a little suggestion, a little intuition, a little spiritual direction, then listen and apply. You know, hearing things are good, okay, but applying them might be a little difficult, as we're talking to Beto in California about starting a job. Everything starts really small, and he can do these things. I know people who have done it. They've just gotten so busy, they had to expand, and then they had to get a helper. Oh, my gosh. And then the real spirituality took over, and how to have a helper and how to deal with people in business. That's very difficult for people in business and, you know, employer-employees relationships. As we all know, they're very complicated, but you take the step and you keep growing. And I didn't mean to get into that too far, but the point being is I'm reading here that, you know, how do baby boomers and Gen X and millennials and Gen Z see the world differently? Well, you know, it's the arrogance of youth. It's the condescending of the aged. It's the different values that we have. And, you know, I can remember when I was growing up in high school, there were these people that had long hair, crazy bell-bottom pants. They wore flowers all over their vests and skirts and whatever. And they did wild things, like they were pacifists. That's right. They didn't want to go to Vietnam. They didn't like any kind of warfare at all. They were, oh my God, burning their bras. Oh my God, that was such a, oh my God, what a protest that was. And on and on and on it goes. Now, for those people who just listen to my words and have no idea what I'm talking about, that's the generation gap. You know, from my children to my grandchildren, I just can't keep up with the language. I can't keep up with what's important. And so I listen very, very closely to see what is important to them. Because I know in time, as my time was when I was a younger person, that things changed. My dad couldn't figure out what was going on with myself and others. You know, you had to have somebody sit down and say, now, Dad, you know, this is what a teenager is all about these days. Anyway. Do these baby boomers and Gen X, millennials and Gen Z see the world differently? Absolutely, because they're supposed to. Every generation that comes after the present generation is more evolved. They are. They have to be, because that's how nature works. They are more evolved than us. genetically, naturally, generationally, they are more evolved. So naturally, we don't understand them, but we can learn how. And then we can be patient with them. And of course, we can sit back and say, yep, I remember when I used to do that. Mm-hmm. You're going to learn your lesson too. But, you know, let's look at these other things in the world that are going on now. Smartphones. You know, I used to have a phone on the wall. You picked off the receiver, you took it off the hook, and you dialed. It went tick, 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 tick. And it was a rotary dial phone. Oh, my God. I'm striking a chord with anybody who's over 50 years old now. They kind of maybe remember that. But anybody else, they go, what are you talking about? Well, it was one phone in a house for six people. And, of course, all the kids who are teenagers are fighting over it. Another generation gap consideration. Anyway, back to tonight's show. It's a wonderful time we're having together tonight. Paul, where are we going next?
Douglas, we're going to the 714 area code with a 588 exchange. The 714, hello, you are on the air with Dr. Douglas. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Raquel, California.
Hi.
Good evening, Raquel.
Hi, good evening. I've spoken with you before and you've been very helpful, and I wish I could say that this time around it's also a good topic. My sister passed away and I'm trying to find the truth. I don't know how she passed. The in-living boyfriend is saying one thing. The authorities are now refusing to investigate. I want answers and I need guidance. I don't know what to believe. My dreams are telling me something else. They're saying something else. I don't know what to do.
Well, I think whatever happened to her, I can see there needs to be an investigation, put it that way. I don't think it was malicious or on purpose, but I think something was happening where it looks like she's fallen back or he or somebody's leaning over and her head's crooked, sort of up against a wall or a curb or something like that, or a bed or on a pillow.
So it wasn't self-inflicted?
I don't know. I just see her leaning back. That's the image of the body. And, you know, maybe that could have happened if it was self-inflicted, but there needs to be an investigation. But I see somebody leaning over, and I don't see any violence. I just see the position. Did it look like her head was turned to the side or something like that? Or
I wasn't there. He says he came from work and found her like that and that she did it on whatever to herself. And they're believing it. Nobody's investigating. I don't know. I feel like I'm fighting the giant, the sheriff, the police. They just don't want to investigate. I don't know what to do.
Okay. Well, nothing is what you can do. Okay. So don't worry about this. Don't fret. You know, I'm trying to say become neutral. But what I'm seeing is maybe I'm looking at the scene where he's over, bending over and looking at her and her head's kind of crooked or off to the side, meaning either she fell down or she's just the way she ended up. So my advice is there needs to be an investigation, and there will be. Somebody's going to a coroner or somebody's going to say something. And
okay.
But I don't
so
see...
I should move forward?
Sorry?
I should move forward with investigating on my own because that's what they basically told me. You can do whatever you want on your own.
Yes, and I'm suggesting be neutral.
Okay.
And take the position of maybe this was self-inflicted, maybe it wasn't. But all you want to know is the truth. You're not trying to affix blame, and you're not trying to, you know, cause anybody's difficulty. You just say, even to the friend, you say, okay, listen, it's my sister. I loved her so much. I just want to know the truth, so for the rest of my life, I won't have any suspicions. So what exactly did you do, or what happened?
He keeps apologizing, but he's not telling me anything.
Well, he's scared stiff.
Yes, I know.
And he's scared of you.
If he were to tell me the truth, I probably would just forgive, but I don't know at this point. I'm so confused.
Right. I understand that. That's why I'm saying you asked me what to do, and I said do nothing. Just settle down. I don't want to sound condescending, but just gather yourself up, be peaceful and say, okay, absolutely nothing is going to change from this moment forward except the truth is going to come out. because remember, tell yourself this when you're having difficulty. There are three things that cannot be hidden: the sun, the moon, and the truth.
The truth, yes.
Okay? Remember that. Okay. And then say, okay, your sister can come to you in a dream event and tell you, and probably will. I can see her sort of in a white blouse or something above you. So she's going to come and whisper in your ear one night. Okay, whatever okay. she's going to say, I don't know. But for right now, you take the position of, you know, not a do nothing, but more like a be peaceful time. Okay? And that's how
I
everybody...
I am still talking to him in a peaceful manner, trying to get the truth out, and he just keeps apologizing, not saying anything, really. But you do foresee that the truth will actually come out.
Yes. And again, you just have to be patient and non-accusatory. Don't push. Just say, I'm missing her a lot. But he's afraid.
Yes.
You know? And men don't have a defense when a woman accuses them these days, usually. It's pretty hard to defend yourself against an accusation. So everybody's saying,
that's
well...
That's the thing. He, this is the route he chose to just say that it was self... I saw something else in my dream. I wasn't sure. I thought maybe it was an accident. But to just go that round and just blame everything on the dead person, that's just very cowardly. I don't know what else.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But it's the expedient, unloving thing to do. But like I said, I asked if she, I don't know if it was an accident. I just see the way the position of the body was, where her head crooked or off to the side, as if she was falling back and her head hit the wall and cricked her neck and something. That's kind of, that's my description of it. I don't know actually what I see. I just see the your sister laying there with her head in an odd position. So my counsel to you is, again, don't do anything. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to rush into anything. You got all the time in the world. But you need to tell yourself that. Say, it's okay. The truth's going to come out. It always does. Okay. And I'm just going to be calm. And I'm going to be like a sponge. And you can, I can see you with a journal writing down when somebody said something. And then, you know, later on when you get all the little pieces, you can put it together and you get a big picture. That's how investigators work. They get a little bit of information. Name, date, and what was said, a little more information, and then pretty soon, by looking at all the little teeny bits of information, you get a big picture. But I say, in the end, I can see you're going to be calm, and you're going to be okay with this.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry that
this
happened. I'm sorry this happened.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Thank you
so
much.
I may suggest something. If you are spiritual or religious, you can pray that her transition to the higher spiritual realms is smooth and quick. And tell her you
yes,
love
she
her.
Actually
tell
did come in a dream saying she's in a happier place. But of, yes, of course.
Good.
Yes, that's the thing, the connection with the dreams. But I immediately knew there was something off with this case.
Well, again, tell yourself it's okay. You know, the truth is coming out. It can never be hidden. And whatever else you need to say, but you know, first and foremost is you have the peace, and then as Doug says, you can pray for your sister. And again, you've already had a bit of a dream, as you said, and then she'll come back, and I can see her whispering in your ear.
Okay. Thanks, Dr. Douglas and Doug. Sure. Thank you.
Okay, you're very welcome.
Oh, good night.
You too. God bless. Okay, Paul, we're heading on to where next?
We've got a caller in the 708 area code, the 708 area code with a 475 exchange. Hello, welcome to the Global Village.
Hello, you're on the air. Are you just listening?
Hello?
Okay. Hello, hello, hello. Okay, I think they're just listening, Paul.
All right, we'll go to the 773 area code, Douglas, and the 750 exchange. Hello, you are on the air with Dr. Douglas.
Listening. Yeah, yes, I'm just listening. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And we will go up to the 312 area code, Douglas.
Is
the 312 area code? You are on the air with Dr. Douglas. Hello.
You know, I think my voice is putting people to sleep. I think so. Hello, are you on the air or just listening? Whatever happened to Carol tonight? That
I don't know, but we've got someone in the 312 area code. Are you calling to talk to Dr. Douglas on the air?
Okay, we cannot hear you. We cannot hear you. Okay, if you can hear us, call back and we'll take your call again. Okay. Well, you know, we're getting close to showtime anyway, at the end of the show. It is a very strange time, and, maybe we should try to... did we try the screening room tonight, Paul? Did you do that?
Haven't tried that, Douglas. I've been cautiously nervous.
Well, listen, everybody, we're going to try this experiment where Doug is going to be put in the screening room by Paul, and they're going to have a little chat, and then hopefully they'll both be back as we get near towards the end of the show. So let's go to commercial, and while the commercial's playing, maybe you and Doug can have a little chat in the green room.
Okay, we will do a commercial break and be right back.
Who's God?
What's my purpose?
What do my dreams mean?
What are miracles?
What are spiritual abilities?
Was I in a past life?
Who is my soulmate?
What is meditation?
Hello, Doug. Can you hear me?
Around on what life is or how to live it?
Hello, Doug.
Down. Find answers in Dr. Douglas James Cottrell's book, Secrets of Life, now available at DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com or Amazon.
You're invited to embark on your own spiritual journey today by discovering the expansive works and services from Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Elevate your being physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Visit DouglasJamesCottrell.com. With over a dozen enlightening books and meditative audio downloads to help guide you through life's complexities. Delve deep into the mysteries of human consciousness, the future, and the spiritual realm. As the author of Secrets of Life, The Complete New Age Health Guide, Conversations with the Akashic Field, and more, Douglas opens the doors to realms most people only dream of visiting. The writings of Dr. Douglas James Cottrell are based on his unique ability to visit the Akashic Field, where all knowledge since the dawn of man is stored. You can read about the predictions, many of which have already come true, and planetary changes, health remedies, human growth are all written. Go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and view the selections of books and MP3 audio available now. That's DouglasJamesCottrell.com.
You're listening to the Global Village International Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Call in and ask a question about tonight's topic at area code 718-766-4421. That's 718-766-4421. Now, once again, here's Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Welcome back, everyone. It is getting closer and closer to Halloween, and in the next few days, we're going to have a Halloween special. We're going to seek out and see if we can find some amazing Halloween guest for the upcoming Blog Talk Radio Global Village International Radio Show. Do you know, I think Halloween and Thanksgiving are something that is kind of like North American. All Saints Day in Europe is a little bit different. I like that ceremony. And for those who know what I'm talking about, please bear with me as I mentioned. In All Saints Day, it's a tradition for families to go to the cemeteries and revisit the relatives that are there, to light candles and to put flowers on the sites. In my trips to Poland, I was very much impressed by that ceremony. And so, my friends, it might be, as much as we're talking about Halloween, it might be a good thing to remember, and Thanksgiving coming up and Christmas, our relatives that have passed on, and maybe do something like light a candle or take a flower to the site, and to remember the good times that you had with them and how your life is enriched by their presence, even though they might be changing addresses, as I like to say, and that their soul is in the higher dimensions above. It's been a wonderful show tonight. We've attempted to jump around a little bit, answering questions on a variety of topics. And as we come to the end of the show, I don't think there's any new callers in the queue that we have seen. Carol, if you're listening, sorry we missed you in the show this time. But Doug, anything that, any comments you'd like to make about where the world's going and how we go through this time of extremes? Anything that tickles your fancy, as they say? I don't know where that or came from, but I've been saying that or hearing that since I was a little kid. Tickle your fancy. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I don't know what part of that body, my body that is, but I'm not going to comment on it. Anyway.
I don't think it's your body. I think it's your fancy. Preferences. I don't know.
Okay, your preference. Okay. Yeah. Okay, like what do you fancy? That sort of phrase like that. What do you like? What do you want?
Hmm.
Okay. Give it your fancy. Okay. So that means basically to intrigue you about something that you have an interest or an enjoyment or wish to pursue. My view is that, these are troubled times, and so we have to face the troubled times with faith and courage and trust that we will be guided. Pray for guidance and never fear. You know, it's a faith that makes you strong, and with you have strong faith and you don't fear. So, as you said, I think it's so significant. You know, you look around and you say, you said to some of the people today, the callers, you know, look at what you have and appreciate what you have, and say to yourself, I'm okay. I'm all right today, and deal with each day as it comes. You know, so I think we have an ability to project, set our sights on what we want, and we move towards it. And with faith and prayer, we know that we'll be fine. So, you know, it's just a matter of trusting in guidance that we will be fine, and by all means, as you alluded to in this day, with one caller, you were talking about, communicating, getting close to her husband, all our loved ones, all of our family. Family is so precious, and family gives you, consoles you, and understands you and listens to you and loves you back. So I think in difficult times, getting close to family is so important. That's all I have to say.
There you go. Paul, as we hear, I'm not sure if your mic is open. I can hear some stuff in the background. Maybe it's my background here. But as we go through this time, what tickles your fancy, shall we say, other than this blog talk not working 100%, so to speak?
Well, what tickles my fancy is getting up in the morning and seizing another day and knowing that we're in probably the safest nation in the world, both Canada and the U.S. So what tickles my fancy is progress, and what tickles my fancy is hope. Hope that we can, as you open the show with a statement that, we can all come together. We don't have to die to figure out that if we all understood reincarnation. I think Herb was the person who brought that up, and you responded very eloquently about the fact that, you know, we don't really have to die to figure it out. We ought to be able to figure out what the spiritual world is all about today, and that's what we're here to do. That's what you're doing. That's what Doug is doing, to help people who follow us with information from the beyond, information that perhaps left the church many, many, many years ago. I don't want to blame it, obviously, on the church, but, you know, there is so much information that you have provided, Douglas, in your books that have helped me for many, many years to better understand how to be as a spiritual being in the flesh on the earth, and to help to influence other people to understand that thinking. Was that a good enough explanation?
That's a wonderful explanation, a wonderful way to close this show. It's exactly right. We're all here to work together and to learn how to work together, and then to actually apply how we work together. You know, I'm a practical man, and we practice practical spirituality and practical Christianity. And as we come to understand, it's pretty darn hard to be nice to everybody. And what do you do when somebody's not nice to you? Or what do you do when disagreements show up? Or, you know, how do you become your brother's neighbor? And by keeping yourself spiritual and doing good, and you do something good for bad people and they take advantage of you. It's a pretty complicated way to go through life. And as you come together in a community, you can set up guidelines as to how you should engage people and be prepared for people that don't believe like you believe, that don't have the same values as you do. But somehow you can work through, you know, this way, sort of find your path through the forest. And that's what spirituality is all about. And so coming to pass on information, it's kind of like having a map and giving it to the next person, or saying, hey, this would work for me, maybe it'll work for you. And you always are encouraging, and you are happy when other people succeed. And you never feel like you don't have enough. Because if you think you don't have enough, well, then you will always be uncomfortable, and you may end up not having enough, and you will feel bitter and resentful for other people that do. The world is free to everybody, and it's a wonderful comment that you made, Paul, which is we live in the safest place in the world, as far as we know, in our country. Nobody is going to come through my front door and shoot me. Nobody's going to come through my door and take away all my possessions. Nobody's going to do bad things to me. There are bad people in here. They're criminals. They're arrested, and they do atrocities, and they're being arrested and on the news. I'm not trying to say that, you know, this is my world, and I'm like living in this idealistic, you know, cocoon. No, they're out there. But I have the expectation of living, perhaps I should say, reasonably safe wherever I go. But I also pray, and I pray for every day by saying I'm grateful for my life. And I invoke the higher levels of consciousness, the spiritual beings, those angels above, especially Raphael, I believe, watches over me, and others. And by saying that every day, you know, I am grateful, and I am thankful for what I have, most importantly in my life, and that I understand that whatever comes my way, whatever challenge is there, there is a solution. I just haven't found it yet, but I know guaranteed there is a solution for every difficulty in life. And if we go peaceably and astutely, and we listen to our intuition, it is like a bonus direction, it's like a bonus compass needle, you'll always find your way. But rest assured, we live in the safest country in the world, the safest continent in the world. And yes, there are bad people out there. Yes, there are people that will lie and cheat. There always have been, there always will be. That's because they don't know any better. And sometimes they are so bad that they need to be punished. And it's our duty to make sure they get punished by talking to the police, talking to a lawyer, going to court, whatever. But that said, that's our society. It's the way we are. This is the way we choose to live. But the golden rule is the rule. Absolutely, you want to get to heaven. Absolutely, you want to have good things happen to you. Absolutely, you want to have benefits. Absolutely, you want to have peace. Don't do anything to someone else that you wouldn't want to have happen to yourself. Now, that means if you were to do something like sneak somebody's money off the kitchen table, okay, you wouldn't want that to happen to yourself. But if you did it, well, then you should expect that you're going to be punished. And that's okay. Because what you give to other people is what you would expect to happen yourself. And if you were to steal money and you would accept being punished, then so should they. So, again, very casual, kind of, you know, simplistic way. There are consequences. God plays for keeps. Do the best you can. Listen to our Global Village International radio show every week because we're going to have some exciting guests on here. And please go to my website, douglasjamescottrell.com, and click on the YouTube channel, Douglas James Cottrell Show, and or the Wake Up Podcast, or other social media that we are on. And please subscribe, like, you know, give me a tip or whatever it is that lets us have a huge subscription, a huge presence online. Here we are on the International Radio Show. People listen to this show in Spain and Australia and Taiwan and Japan and other places. I think I said Australia, all over the world in their own time zone. We know that because they tell us. And tonight we're coast to coast to coast with people calling in today. Sorry we didn't get to everybody. Looks like we're just a minute over the hour. I'm going to say goodnight. And remember, the journey doesn't stop here at the end of the show. It continues. You are on the path. Keep taking your steps. Trust that there is some guiding light above. Trust in goodness. Trust in people, but be prudent. And do the best you can always to be helpful. Until next time, I'm your host, Douglas James Cottrell, with our producer, Paul Hughes, and my co-host, Doug Bentley, wishing you health, wealth, and peace of mind. Until next time, we'll see you right back here. May your life be filled with joy and prosperity and peace. Good night, my friends.
Thanks for listening to the Global Village Online Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Brought to you by MindPro Publications and Productions, a division of Douglas James Cottrell & Associates, Incorporated. Copyright 2023, Douglas James Cottrell. No part of this broadcast audio may be reproduced in whole or in part without expressed written permission.